Yeah, last Wednesday, December the 30th, Lynette and I, like you said, celebrated 55 years, December the 30th, 1965. This lady became my wife, and without her, I would not be where I am today. Without her support, without her love, without her encouragement, and I thank God for my wife. Amen. Hallelujah. It's because of her that we're where we are today. You know, a lot of people have talent, but unless somebody pushes them, they never succeed. Many times when I wanted to quit, she said, "No, you don't. No, you don't." We had only been married a few days, a couple of weeks, I think. I'd just gotten out of the Army. And I got out in August 20th, 1965, and we got married in December. And she was working, and I was trying to get started in the ministry, and it wasn't working very good for me. And I was just mowing the yard, painting the house, doing whatever I could to try to get a little finances. And I got a call from wanting me to come and join the State Department, and because of what I did in the Army. And I was really excited about it. And she came home, and I told from work, and I told her about it. And she looked at me, and in no uncertain terms, she said, "I married a preacher. I'm going to live with a preacher," and turned around, walked out, and got in the car and left. Sort of brought me to my senses, and I'm here today because of that. Amen. Praise God. God has plans for you in the new year. I want to look today at the writings of Jeremiah in chapter 29. I'm going to zero in on the verses 10 through 14 because I think there's some powerful information here that can be a great benefit to us. And as we look at this year, this is the third day of a brand new year. What has transpired last year is history. It's written. It cannot be changed. But you can change this year. So many times people are asking, "Well, what is the word for this year?" And I believe the word for this year, for me, and I'll share it with you, you can take it if you want it, is that God has plans and blessings for each individual. It's up to each individual to find out what God has for you during this year. So many people look for somebody, one of them, ministers or a so-called prophet or somebody to give them a word that, and my word to you is God has a plan, and that plan is to bless you this year. But it's up to you to look into the Word of God and find out what He wants you to do. Every one of us are different. We can't be clones. We've got to be ourselves doing what God wants us to do, and that's where our blessing comes. Not because we're trying to be somebody else, not because we're trying to imitate somebody else. In fact, in the Word of God, it says about all of those heroes of faith, and it says to imitate, not imitate them, but imitate their faith. Their faith was that they believed God and they followed the plan of God that He had for them. You notice that Paul did what God told him to do. Peter did what God told him to do. Daniel did what God told him to do. The three Hebrew children did what God told them to do. You see, too many times we want to zero in and have somebody else explain to us what we should do. Nobody can explain to you what you should do. It only comes from God as you zero in with Him. So with that, let's read, and all of us know this, from, start out with verse 10. Jeremiah 20:10. I'm going to go from the NLT right now. This is what the Lord says. You'll be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I promised, and I will bring you home again. This is God talking to the children of Israel, his people. And he's telling them that this is not the end. They thought it was the end. They thought it was all over. He said, nope, this is not the end. I'm going to bring you out and I'm going to restore you. Here, we need to realize that God was fulfilling the covenant that he had made with Moses in the Mosaic covenant, in Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, all the different covenants that you study. But particularly, I want to zero in on that Abrahamic covenant, because that's what applies to us today. You see here, today God has made a new covenant and with his people. It's a better covenant, established on better promises. According to Hebrews 8:6, from the New King James, it says, come on, what's the matter with this thing? It's not operating like it's supposed to. There it is. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Now, to really fully understand how God wants to bless you, you've got to understand this covenant that God made with Abraham. And that covenant was redeem from poverty, sickness, and death. And that death does not mean cessation of life. It means spiritual death. And I said this many times to you. I'll say it again. When we see the word death in the Word of God, we've got to look at the context and study it to find out whether it means cessation of life or spiritual death. Because it says we were dead in our trespasses and sin. We weren't dead. We were alive. So that's spiritual death. And that's what this Abrahamic covenant has. Now, let us go over here, because I'm talking about, we have a new covenant. God, he said he was going to bless the children, his children, because of a covenant that he had made with them. Now, he made a covenant. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, and let's go first to verse number 7. Verse number 7. New King James Translation. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. Now here we begin to realize something. By faith, we have become the descendants of Abraham, not naturally, but spiritually. So, as we drop on down to verse number, especially 14, but I'll read 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That, here it is. that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now drop on down to that 29th verse of that third chapter. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise or the covenant. He made that covenant with Abraham. He made that covenant with the children of Israel way back in the beginning. He is still duty bound to that covenant. And if you get into studying eschatology, you'll find out that in the end, he returns back to them once again. But in the meantime, and I don't have time to go into eschatology here, but we're in that, there is that 70th week of Daniel's vision. We're in between that 69 and that 70th week, which is called the dispensation of grace. And I don't want to get all into that because that gets me off of what I'm talking about. But we're in that period, and God has turned his attention toward all of those that have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they have become God's children. He has become our Father, and now we have that covenant. It's enough. You know, you might, in this generation, we might say it's an upgrade. It's an upgraded covenant. What does that mean? Well, you got everything that was in the old, but you upgraded and you got new. That means it's more. It's a better covenant. It has more promises. It has more blessing. It has more promises for us. Our covenant has all of the old benefits along with the new benefits. So, we need to realize that as we believe God and follow Him this year, that the blessings of that covenant become ours. But they're not going to fall on you. It's going to be because you seek after Him. And we'll get a hold of that in a moment. But now I want to go to that next verse, 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. The plans are good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Here he's telling them, I have good plans for you. They're not for disaster, but they are for a future and a hope. Too many people are looking at this new year, and they're all in a turmoil, afraid of what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen in this world. I don't know what's going to happen in our nation. But I do know one thing, that my God has plans for me, and it's not for disaster, but it's for a future and a hope. And it's up to me to believe God in the face of every obstacle, in the face of everything that's saying that it can't be. I say, I don't know about you, but I can tell you about me. I'm going to walk in the blessing and the favor of God because I have a covenant with God. And that covenant will not be broken by God. The only way that covenant is broken is by you not zeroing in on what God said and grabbing a hold of it like a bulldog does a bone and say, I'm not going to turn loose. I don't care what happens. I believe God. You got to get to the point that you're like Paul. On that pitch and rolling deck of that ship that was going under, he put his foot on the bow of that ship and said, I believe God. Come on now. Everybody said, well, it looks bad. I don't care what it looks like. I don't live by looks like. I live by every word that comes out of this Bible right here. And this word says, I can be blessed and I have blessing. God has plans according to us, according to his thoughts, not according to our thoughts. We think too small. God thinks big. In fact, Isaiah 55:8 says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far above anything you could imagine. Then verse 9, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So quit thinking your thoughts and start thinking God's thoughts. God has better plans for us than we can ever dream of or even think about. God's plans are far, far. God's plans are far, 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 far more than we could ever even dream or think about. So fall in line with God. Let him be the leader. You quit trying to be the leader. As long as you're leading, everything's going to get in a mess. But if you let God be the leader and you follow him, then everything's all right. Let him give the orders. You know, when you get in a huddle in a football game, there ain't nobody else in that huddle saying anything. And if they do, that quarterback tells them, shut up. Because he is the head on that field and he is telling you what to do. He got his information from the coach. Right? And you do, if you don't do what the plan says, if he gets in there and he said, okay, we're going to run 20, I'm going to go back to when I played. I don't know how they do it today, but when I played, it was the old T formation and we ran a 24 dive. When he said, when that quarterback said, okay, we're running 24 dive. Everybody in there knew what 24 dive means. And everybody had a plan. And if you didn't execute your plan, 24 dive is going to go blow up. For you that don't know it, that's the two back going through the four hole. And zero is on them, is the zero was the center. And then you had 2, 4, 6, 8. You had 1, 3, 5, and 7. Right? Anybody play when it was like that? Oh, a few of you played when it was like that. Now they got these all these weird calls, you know. It's ZY, U-turn or whatever. I mean, they got crazy terminology. But when that quarterback was, he called that play, he expects everybody to follow his lead. Right? God is calling the plays. Execute them. The great coach Vince Lombardi said, I'll give you my playbook. And if every one of my team members executes his position to perfection, you can't stop me. Do you realize that any play in basketball, football, I know those two very well. Any play that's executed perfectly, the defense can't stop it. It gets stopped because there was a breakdown. Somebody missed a block. Somebody didn't run a right pattern. I was watching the Iowa State game last night. And the guy threw the pass, and there was two receivers that we're right together. That doesn't work. You got to have some distance. In basketball, you'll hear them, the commentators saying all the time, they're not enough distance between them. They're not spread out enough. You can't execute the play. Hey, listen to what God says. Follow God. I don't care whether you think you should do it or not. If that's what the plan says, then do it. Amen. Come on now. Anybody getting anything? I believe that as long as we have breath in our bodies, that God is working for us to have a future and a hope. Don't give up. God never gives up. It's you that gives up. But if we'll stay hooked with God, believing what this word says, hey, I am a child of God. And all the blessings of Abraham, because if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed. That means then every blessing that God promised Abraham and his seed is mine and yours. You got to believe it, act like it, and take hold of it. Now, let's go on. Maybe I'm going too long. I don't know. Let's go to Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13. I'm going to read this from New King James and then the NLT also. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, and when you search for me with all your heart. Now, the NLT says it like this. In those days when you pray, I will listen. So you don't have to be concerned that God doesn't hear you. Somebody said, well, I was praying. I hope the Lord heard me. Well, if you was praying in faith, he did. 13 says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Here is the instructions for getting the plans and the future that he has for us. Everybody wants the blessing. But too many people are not willing to pay the price to get it. If you've been watching any of the bowl games, those guys, they wanted that trophy. You see some of them grabbing a hold of that trophy and they kissing that trophy. But I want to tell you what, they not up there on that stage with that trophy because they just wanted the trophy. They paid a price. And it started way back in Pee Wee football. And all the way through junior high, high school, college. And they're there. You don't get anything because you want it. In the workplace or anywhere else. It's because you're willing to pay the price to get the prize. If you're going, Paul said, I press on toward the prize. You got to keep pressing on in with God if you're going to get the prize. It says here, wholeheartedly. He instructed them to seek him wholeheartedly. What does that mean? That means with everything inside of you. That means with everything you got. I know I use sporting illustrations a lot, but that's what I got. That's what I can identify with. I want to tell you what. I have never yet seen anybody that was on the field playing that didn't give it everything they had. There's a lot of guys on the team. But you see some of them over there that never get on the field. They haven't paid the price to get there. You hear the term, no pain, no gain. I think I played some of my best games with 102 fever. Didn't tell the coach because I wouldn't have gotten the game. I didn't tell nobody I was sick because I wanted to play. I wanted to be on that field. And if you got in my way, I'm going to put a shoulder on you and knock the fire out of you. After the game, I'll shake your hand. But right now, when you got on a different color uniform, you're game. You're fair game. Hey, you need to tell the devil he's got on the wrong color uniform. And every time you get close to him, you're gonna knock the fire out of him. Come on. I mean, y'all understand what I'm trying to say to you, don't you? Now, I'm not talking about being dirty. I'm talking about football. You got to give it everything you got. Coach told me one time, said, Hagin, you know why you play? I said, no, I love to play. He said, there's some people over there on that bench that's got more talent than you do. But he said, when you step across that line on that field, you will give me everything you got. You'll hit as hard as you can hit. You'll run as fast as you can run. I can depend on you. That's what God needs out of you. He wants to be able to depend on you. When he tells you to do something, he wants to depend on you to go do it and get it accomplished, not for yourself, but for the kingdom of God. Let me tell you what, when you start seeking God wholeheartedly and go after God with everything you got, working for the kingdom, the blessing comes to you. Too many people are wanting the blessing, but they're not working for the kingdom. Amen. Running backs, they will tell you, I was able to do that boy that ran that touchdown last night for Iowa State. When they asked him about it, he said, it was because of my teammates. They blocked the people out of the way, got me loose. Then I could use my speed we got to realize that we're working for the team, God's team. He has a plan. He has a future for each one of us, but it's up to us to execute our plan that he gives us. When we execute that, then the kingdom, the team, the kingdom is enhanced. Let me understand where I'm coming from on this. See, it's not, some people, it's all individual. No, we're as a church, we're a team. And every one of us seeking to do our part in this church will advance the kingdom. We're a part of Rhema. Rhema is worldwide. I see several of the directors sitting there. It's worldwide. As we all execute our plan, worldwide, then the kingdom of God is enhanced. The word of faith goes all over the world. Come on now. God does not perform his word for those that just want to be a part of the team. He confirms his word for those that diligently seek him, for those that draw near to him. It's hard to hear if you're far away. Have ears. Listen with your spiritual ears. God's willing to share his plan and to show you what he wants you to do. I remember third grade, year in school, Van, Texas. Church is here, parsonage is here. And I remember Dad began a series. He began to pray. It was actually the best church we ever was at. The best parsonage, the best finances, the best shape that we as a family had ever been in. But Dad began to sense that God had something else. He spent time seeking God and praying. Then God showed him what to do. He traveled all over this country preaching, this nation, During that time, he kept asking God about a way to get the message of faith out to the world. Because God had given him mandate, go teach my people faith. But if Dad hadn't spent time finding out God's plan, there wouldn't be a Rhema Bible Training College here. And there wouldn't be 200 and something of them in 51 different nations right now. There wouldn't be a Rhema church. There wouldn't be thousands of graduates all over the world preaching the message of faith around the world. The plan comes from taking time to seek God with your whole heart. Not with, okay, God, this is what I want to do. No, seeking God with your whole heart, saying, what do you want, God? Where do you want me? What do you want me doing? Come on. God will manifest himself in people's lives. Here, Jeremiah 29:14. Let's go to it. I will be found by you, says the Lord. He's telling Israel here. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and you will bring you home again to your own homeland. Here, he promised Israel, if they would wholeheartedly seek him, he would restore them. He will do everything the word says he will do for you if you will seek him wholeheartedly. If you will let him reveal his plan, this year will be a great year for you. You need to start off by saying, this is going to be a great year. This is going to be my year. Because God has promised me that he will bless me. I am a spiritual descendant of Abraham, and the Abraham blessing belongs to me. Seek God and he will manifest himself in your life. He will show his power in your life. He will show abundant provision when everybody else is saying, how can it happen? How can it be? He will show divine protection. This year, God will take care of you and bring you into those things that he has planned for you if you will seek him wholeheartedly and follow his direction, not what you want to do, what he wants you to do. There's two things that will guarantee that this will be the greatest year you've ever had, is if you will wholeheartedly seek him and call upon him with faith, believing that what he said will come to pass. God is waiting on you. You're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you to come near and seek his face. And as you do, you will see that his grace and victory will become yours. And you'll walk in a path that you've never walked before. And you will experience things that you've only thought about. You will see that my power is upon you. My plans are for you. And I will protect you wherever you go. I will guide you if you will listen to me. I will show you the path to walk. I will show you where to go. I will show you when to stop. I will tell you when to go again, as I did the children of Israel as they went to the promised land. I will guide you in every area of your life. But you have to be willing to wholeheartedly seek me. You have to be willing to let go of your plans and begin to follow my plan. And as you do, you will see that the anointing will flow upon you. And once again, you will feel that anointing. Once again, you'll have that power that you so long for. And I'm speaking now to somebody that feels that has lost your way. This is the Lord speaking to you. This is what the Lord is saying. Once again, you will feel that power. Once again, you will receive what that anointing. And as you walk in that anointing, I will lift you higher and you will go higher and you will fulfill the plan that I have for your life. If you'll just follow me, saith the Lord, what a great day it will be. Just look to me and let my spirit dwell within you. Let my plan become your plan. Let my heart become your heart. And you'll see that there'll be a great day, and what a rejoicing that will be. And you will shout and jump for joy. And you will say, praise God, it has come to pass. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Spirit of God was speaking to several different people there. Somebody say, well, what about all that? Hey, if any of it was good for you, grab a hold of it and hang on to it. But especially right there, when I got to that one part, God said, hey, I'm talking to several people that have felt like that they've lost it. I'm trying to get them to realize that they, if they'll just turn and seek me, they'll be restored. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, did anybody get anything out of this today? 2021, the word is seek him wholeheartedly and he'll show you his blessing. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Bow your heads for just a moment. I never like to minister that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or rededicate their life to God. If you're in this place and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you can't experience any of the blessings that I'm talking about until you become a child of God. Or you're in this place and you know what it is to serve him, but you know you're not where you're supposed to be and you need to rededicate your life. Let me see your hand anywhere in this room, anywhere. Upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. Let me see your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody, anywhere. You know, we believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here. According to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody here this morning say, I'd like to receive the Holy Spirit? Anybody? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Everybody lift your hands and thank God for him and his blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Are y'all praying? I can't hear nothing. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Thank God. Father, we bless you today. Thank you for your blessings. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.